This time, my mother and I were fighting about what I had done at school to prove with no question that Anita Okechukwu was not wearing a bra. That Anita and I had been in the middle of the playground hadn't bothered me. That there were boys around hadn't bothered me. But Anita Okechukwu was far more sensitive than I. Wando, you can't just go around opening people's shirts, my mother said, after she closed the door on Mrs. Okechukwu, a broad-shouldered, broad-hipped woman whose need for a bra was unassailable. Mrs. Okechukwu had wanted an apology and an explanation, and my mother was ready with the first, but unsure of the second. That's why she'd called me onto the veranda to explain myself. I wanted to tell them about how Anita had started the girl club after claiming that her father had sent her expensive bras from London, edged with barely there lace and soft ribbons and powdered with fairy dust, and how she made the rule that only girls with bras could be in the girl club, and that if you weren't in the girl club, you couldn't sit in the girl area and you had to play with the boys. Anita would confirm who was girl by escorting each applicant behind the school to check if she was wearing the required undergarment. They'd emerge short minutes later, the bra princess followed by her newest lady-in-waiting. In the jostling to be a girl, with friends borrowing one another's intimates and rejected applicants stewing in bitterness, no one had thought to check if Anita actually owned the bras she'd shown us in a catalogue. And Mrs. Okechukwu frowned at me until my nuanced defence deteriorated into, I wanted to see her bra. My mother pinched her nose, and Mrs. Okechukwu muttered about girls with no home training. That's when my mother got angry. I could tell by the way her left shoulder hunched forward with the effort not to make a fist, how her lips pressed so tight they disappeared. She remained polite to Anita's mother, but her glare seared holes into me. Wait till your father hears this thing, her cry of last resort. At such moments, I became my father's daughter, a confounding creature who had no doubt inherited a vein of insanity from one of his ye-ye ancestors. I was his problem to solve. Dinner that night amounted to my mother chewing smugly while I tried to swallow Gary around the lump in my throat. My father said nothing. While my mother cleared the table, he set up the chessboard on the veranda, a sporadic ritual that had begun a few months before when we relocated to Port Harcourt. As the stand-in for Emmanuel, my father's old friend, I was to match him in chess and swap stories, though my mother drew the line at serving me beer. A poor strategist, I never offered much of a challenge, but my father was a quiet man who did not make friends easily, and I would do. So, what is this your mother is telling me? He asked, giving me another chance to explain myself. I had the words this time, and told my father about Anita and bras and the machinations of girls. He listened without interrupting, stealing my pawns as I moved them on the board. When I finished, my story dangled in the air between us. Then my father began to tell one of his own. When I was your age, my lieutenant.
You were in the army when you were 12? I interjected, knowing my father's penchant for exaggeration.
Emmanuel used to take him to task for it, interrupting my father with laughter and calls for truth, truth. With Emmanuel gone, the assignment fell to me. But my father didn't crack a smile.
Lieutenant Ezi Jiaku was a hard man. I feel bad for him now because he was surrounded by boys and fools and charged with creating an army of men. He would wake us at 3 in the morning and make us run around the compound with our gear. When we complained, he would shout, "Do you think the enemy will let you fetch a wheelbarrow to carry your things?" Sometimes, he would wake 2 of us at random in the middle of the night to run drills. We would always fight to sleep in the spots we thought he wouldn't pick.
Is this about the time he took your gun? The tale, intended to impart some inscrutable lesson, was a stale one my father had trotted out at various infractions over my short life. I heard it when I stole lipstick from my aunt's dresser. I heard it when my mother discovered me gathering ants in a plastic bag to put in a schoolmate's hair. I heard it after I got into a fight with the children who said my father was strange, and again when I wanted to know why Emmanuel couldn't come to our house anymore, and later, why he'd done what he'd done.